This episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is brought to you in part by Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. Check it out at easybiblenamesguide.com. Thanks. Well, greetings. Welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 588, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. If this is your first time here, I'm happy to meet you. If you've been here before, welcome back. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. Every Monday through Friday, we read the Old Testament. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we read the New Testament. Today, we're going to complete the book of 1 John by reading chapters 4 and 5 from the God's Word translation. Let's begin. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, don't believe all people who say that they have the Spirit. Instead, test them. See whether the Spirit they have is from God, because there are many false prophets in the world. This is how you can recognize God's Spirit. Every person who declares that Jesus Christ has come as a human has the Spirit that is from God. But every person who doesn't declare that Jesus Christ has come as a human has a spirit that isn't from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you have heard is coming. That spirit is already in the world. Dear children, you belong to God. So you have won the victory over these people, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. These people belong to the world. That's why they speak the thoughts of the world, and the world listens to them. We belong to God. The person who knows God listens to us. Whoever doesn't belong to God doesn't listen to us. That's how we can tell the spirit of truth from the spirit of lies. Dear friends, we must love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love doesn't know God because God is love. God has shown us His love by sending His only Son into the world so that we could have life through Him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment for our sins. Dear friends, if this is the way God loved us, we must also love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. We know that we live in Him, and He lives in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We have seen and testified of the fact that the Father sent His Son as the Savior of the world. God lives in those who declare that Jesus is the Son of God, and they live in God. We have known and believed that God loves us. God is love. Those who live in God's love live in God, and God lives in them. God's love has reached its goal in us. So we look ahead with confidence to the day of judgment. While we are in this world, we're exactly like Him with regard to love. No fear exists where His love is. Rather, perfect love gets rid of fear, because fear involves punishment. The person who lives in fear doesn't have perfect love. We love because God loved us first. Whoever says, "I love God," but hates another believer is a liar. People who don't love other believers, whom they've seen, can't love God, whom they have not seen. Christ has given us this commandment. The person who loves God must also love other believers. 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born from God. Everyone who loves the Father also loves His children. We know that we love God's children when we love God by obeying His commandments. To love God means that we obey His commandments. Obeying His commandments isn't difficult, because everyone who has been born from God has won the victory over the world. Our faith is what wins the victory over the world. Who wins the victory over the world? Isn't it the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This Son of God is Jesus Christ, who came by water and blood. He didn't come with water only, but with water and with blood. The Spirit is the one who verifies this, because the Spirit is the truth. There are three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three witnesses agree. We accept human testimony. God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony that He has given about His Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony of God in them. Those who don't believe God have made God a liar. They haven't believed the testimony that God has given about His Son. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is found in His Son. The person who has the Son has this life. The person who doesn't have the Son of God doesn't have this life. I've written this to those who believe in the Son of God so that they will know that they have eternal life. We are confident that God listens to us if we ask for anything that has His approval. We know that He listens to our requests, so we know that we already have what we ask Him for. If you see another believer committing a sin that doesn't lead to death, you should pray that God would give that person life. This is true for those who commit sins that don't lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not telling you to pray about that. Every kind of wrongdoing is sin, yet there are sins that don't lead to death. We know that those who have been born from God don't go on sinning. Rather, the Son of God protects them, and the evil one can't harm them. We know that we are from God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we know the real God. We are in the one who is real, His Son, Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ is the real God and eternal life. Dear children, guard yourselves from false gods. May God bless the reading of His Word. As in chapters 1 through 3 of this book, there are many great truths taught in today's chapters. But chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 need a closer look, I think. Let me read it to you again. John said, "If you see another believer committing a sin that doesn't lead to death, you should pray that God would give that person life. This is true for those who commit sins that don't lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not telling you to pray about that. Every kind of wrongdoing is sin, yet there are sins that don't lead to death. We know that those who have been born from God don't go on sinning. Rather, the Son of God protects them, and the evil one can't harm them. So what is this sin that leads to death, and the sin that does not lead to death? I read several commentaries, and as is often the case with these difficult passages, there is some disagreement among scholars. But let me give you my understanding of the passage in a somewhat simplified way, which works since I'm a simple guy. To give these verses context, in this passage, John is talking about prayer. He's talking about how God hears the prayers of the believer and how, if we ask according to His will, He will grant our prayers. But then John makes this statement that we're talking about. So my understanding of what John was saying is this. If we see a Christian brother or sister sinning, we should pray for them that God would forgive them. A person who is living for Christ, who loves the Lord, will sometimes sin. We all do. But since we do love God, the blood of Jesus covers that sin, and the Holy Spirit will speak to our heart, and we will confess that sin to God and ask forgiveness. This is a sin that does not lead to death, because as we read in the last episode, God is faithful and just to forgive us when we confess. However, a person who rejects God, who has no relationship with Jesus, is already condemned to death. His sin is a sin unto death already. John is, in this passage, telling us that we should not pray that God would forgive them, because for God to do so would be asking Him to circumvent His justice. Scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Believers are covered by that blood. But those who reject Christ are not, so they cannot be forgiven, and we should not ask God to do so. We can, however, pray that they would soften their hearts and come into relationship with God through Jesus so that all of their sins will be forgiven. Does that make sense? What do you think? Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Hey, take a look at my book over at easybiblenamesguide.com. Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide is the tool you need to be able to say any name in the Bible, even those long 57-letter words. Check it out at easybiblenamesguide.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.